Praise the Lord, that was great. Thank you very much. Teen leaders and teenagers, we appreciate your ministry and music. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, I'd like for us to read from verses 1 to 4. So far in our series on praying for God's direction, we've noted some foundational principles on guidance. From the life of the blind beggar there in the Gospel of John chapter 9. The other week we took the phrase God's will. And we noted 8 principles on how we can know the will of God for our lives. This morning I'd like to look at the subject of discerning counsel. Discerning counsel. And bring this little series of messages to a close. Addressing the issue of being discerning in the counsel that we receive. And the counsel that is followed. Nehemiah chapter 6, please, verses 1 to 4. It reads, "And it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah, and Geshem the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray once again with humility of mind that you would guide us and lead us into truth this morning. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. So, Lord God, I pray this morning that you would lead us into truth, that you'd help us to be discerning in the counsel that we receive, the counsel that we follow through on. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Discerning counsel. The Bible teaches us that in the multitude of counsel there is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, chapter 19, verse 20, and also chapter 24, verse 6 teaches us that principle. There is wisdom in the multitude of counsel. But the other side of the coin is that you have a practical problem at times. Once you've sought counsel, you might find varying opinions. The question is, which counsel do you follow? And alongside that, if all the counsel harmonizes, is it right advice? See, the majority has been wrong before, has it not? The majority of Australians this morning are not in church. Does that mean the majority are right and we are wrong by being in church this morning? The Lord Jesus said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be on that road. But narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there be that find it." We would all agree that we need to be discerning with the counsel given and make sure that the counsel that we receive is of God. Because it could be a work of the evil one, the devil. It could be worldly counsel based upon a worldly mindset. It could be a flesh propagated counsel. And within this passage of scripture, Nehemiah finds himself building the wall alongside a host of people within the nation of Israel. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 1 that the building of that wall has come to the point of which each point has been built. And the only thing that is yet to take place to complete the building of the wall is to mount the doors. The devil knows when to strike, and he knows when is the point to have a dig, attack. And it's by no coincidence that here in chapter 6 we find the devil turns up and he seeks to place a halt to the work of God, because he sees well that the building of this wall has almost been completed. Now, what biblical principles did Nehemiah apply? And what lessons can we learn that will help us to discern right from wrong counsel? I think it would be unwise for you and I to dismiss that there is wisdom in the multitude of counsel, because it is a biblical principle. But yet at the same time, we must be mindful that when we seek advice or we seek counsel, at times there is variation in that counsel. The other month I had a pastor call me and he said, "Look, I'm calling you just to get some advice, and I've called a number of pastors already. In fact, I've chosen to ring 2 pastors in each state," and he sought counsel on this particular issue, and he said they all varied in their counsel. And he said, "I'd like to know what you think." So what do you do in that sort of a situation? Even if all the counsel agrees, one has to ask the question, is the counsel godly? Because sometimes the majority is not right. Now, from this passage of Scripture, I'd like to highlight 2 main principles that will help us to be discerning when it comes to counsel. Principle number 1 is found within the context of these first 4 verses of chapter 6 that we've just read. And that is the principle of distractions. The principle of distractions. Be careful of counsel that gets you off track. See, Nehemiah was invited to meet in the plain of Ono. Note then verse number 2, the Bible teaches us that Nehemiah received an invitation to meet with a group in one of the villages, we're not told which one, in the plain of Ono. Nehemiah is invited to meet within this plain. They certainly weren't specific concerning where they were going to meet, because the Bible teaches us that they were up to no good. At the end of verse 2 it reads, "And they thought to do me mischief." But Nehemiah's response was, "Oh no, Oh no! I'm not meeting anybody in the plains of Oh no! Oh no! He said. He said, I'm too busy building a wall. See, in verse number 3, he responded to the messengers by sending messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. And that word great there is in, it conveys the idea of an important work. This is a priority that I'm involved in. And Nehemiah had fixed his mind on what God's will was for his life at that time. And he said, look, I am not going to be distracted from doing what God has called me to do. And my friend, one of the ways you and I can be discerning with the counsel that we receive is to ask the question, is this a distraction? Is this taking me away from what God has called me to do? Simon Peter, when he listened to the words of the Son of God, and as the Lord Jesus foretold before his disciples concerning his death to come and that his death was imminent, Simon Peter launched out and said, Lord, this should not be so. And our Lord responded to Simon Peter by saying, get thee behind me, Satan, because what you are saying is not of God. It is the will of God the Father for me to die and provide redemption for all mankind. And brethren, this morning, Nehemiah had fixed his mind on fulfilling God's will for his life. And that was to rebuild the wall. He was given leave from the king of Persia to accomplish this task within a given time. Note then chapter 2, please, verse number 6. At the end of verse number 6, it reads, so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. See, Nehemiah was working according to a time schedule. His leadership had given him permission. Beyond permission, the king had graciously provided the authority and the resources to go back and to lead his people in the rebuilding of this wall. And he understood that he was on a time schedule. So therefore he said to these messengers, by his messengers, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. He had a clear purpose in mind. Therefore, he was not easily distracted. And brethren, let me ask you this morning, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? What is your calling? May I submit to you, first and foremost, it's the will of God that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And my friend this morning, if you are here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's will is that you become a child of God. That you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't allow the devil to distract you. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure whether you are a Christian, don't allow the evil one to distract you from making that decision. Now, once you've made that decision, may I submit to you, child of God, it's His will that you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. It's God's will that we grow as Christians, that we mature as Christians. So any distraction that comes along your way that diametrically opposes spiritual growth needs to be questioned. It might not be a sinful thing, but is it aiding spiritual growth? And then beyond that point, God has a specific will for your life, and God has a specific will for my life, and we need to guard against the Sanballats and the Tobias and the Gershoms that will come along or deceitfully seek to distract you and I from the purpose at hand. What is your purpose? If you haven't worked this out, then You need to, because if you don't understand what you're meant to be doing as a blood-bought child of God, how can you possibly discern when a distraction is pending? It might not be a bad sidetrack. Nevertheless, it is still a sidetrack, because it doesn't harmonize with God's will for your life. The issue of God's will must be settled in your mind. And brethren, as we seek counsel, as we seek advice, as we seek direction from others, and brethren, we need to be careful lest we be distracted. Be careful of counsel that gets you off track from what God has taught you to do. Because the devil is deceitful, and he comes as an angel of light. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, "For Demas hath forsaken me." Why? "Having loved this present world." And there are many sincere Christians that have been sidetracked because the glitter and glamour of the world takes over. And they're not growing in the grace of the Lord. They're not in the center of God's will. They've been distracted by the world. And the Apostle Paul said, "I must announce that Demas, that once served along my side, was a co-laborer, is no longer on the front line. He has had such an awe of the world that he's departed and he's followed his fleshly appetites." Quickly, go to Luke chapter 8, please. The Gospel of Luke chapter 8. Verses 18. Luke chapter 18, chapter 8, verse 18 to 22. No, that's not the passage I was after. The passage I was after is when the Lord Jesus was calling for his disciples to follow him. And each one had an excuse, and one of them said, "I need to go back and bury my father." And the Lord Jesus responded by saying, "Let the dead bury the dead." Now, was it wrong for this individual to attend to his father's funeral? In itself, it wasn't wrong. But the issue was, the reason why he wanted to attend to his father's funeral is because he wanted his cut. He wanted his inheritance. See, within the biblical setting, whenever somebody died like the father dies, everybody was there. Because that's when you get your inheritance, see? So really, the Lord Jesus, understanding the heart of man, he understood this man wasn't overly concerned. I'm sure he was to a point, but not overly concerned about being at his father's funeral. The real issue was he wanted to get his inheritance. And he wasn't there, and if he wasn't there, he wouldn't get it. That's why the Lord Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead. Take up the cross, follow me." See, Nehemiah was fully persuaded in his mind concerning his purpose in life. And this enabled him to discern distractions. And brethren, this morning as we seek counsel, be on guard concerning counsel that distracts you, that gets you off track. And if you don't understand what you're meant to be doing, work it out, brethren. Work it out what you're meant to be doing. I can assure you, without thinking too hard, it's God's will, my friend, that you are saved. That you receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And then the next point is growth. Spiritual growth. If you are a Christian this morning, it is the will of God that you grow spiritually. So something comes along that opposes growth, it must be questioned. It must be questioned. And as you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, God will reveal what His will is for you. And once you've worked that out, you've got to always Keep that at the forefront of your mind, and then that will enable you to discern a distraction. Distractions are everywhere. My friend, are you distracted this morning? You might be here in body, but you're not here in mind. Are you distracted? Have you allowed the devil to distract you? The Bible talks about laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. We have to run with patience the race that is set before us. Need to guard against distractions, that which will get us off track. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work, I cannot come down. He understood what he was meant to be doing. And to meet a bunch of blokes there in the plain of Ono that he didn't really know and he wasn't exactly sure where they were meeting, that sounded a little bit fishy to Nehemiah. They came back and they came back and they came back four times. And each time Nehemiah said, I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm not going. Distractions. Now back in Nehemiah chapter 6, please, I'd like for us to go to verse number 10 and read from verse 10 to 14. And let's note the second main means by which the evil one tried to get Nehemiah off track, derail Nehemiah from what he was meant to be doing. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 10, afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Metabeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so, and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadah, and the rest of the prophets, that would have put me in fear. Nehemiah committed the situation to the Lord. He was invited to hide in the temple from the enemy. But yet he discerned that this man was hired by Sanballat and Tobiah to cause him to disobey the word of God. So the devil works as an angel of light, deceiving many to detour us from the clear teachings of Scripture. Brethren, this morning, as we seek to be discerning with the counsel that is given to us, number one, bear in mind, is this a distraction? Is this distracting me from God's will for my life? And secondly, this morning, is this a detour? A detour from God's word. Be careful of counsel that diametrically opposes the word of God. See, Nehemiah refuses to enter the temple. Why? Because he was not a priest. He was not a Levite. He had no right to go in and hide in the temple. And also, being a man of God, he was not to be fearful of man. His trust was in the Lord. So this is not only a violation of a biblical mandate, it's not my place to go in the temple. I'm not a priest, I'm not a Levite, that's not my role, that's not my responsibility. But also, he said, if I was to do so, then I would be fearing man as opposed to trusting the Lord. So by two means, Nehemiah discern that this is a detour. This is a detour. Be careful of counsel that diametrically opposes God's word. He discerned. Nehemiah discerned it would be disobedience to the word of God to hide in the temple. My friend, the Bible needs to be our guide. It needs to guide every area of your life and of my life. The devil will try and cause you and I to disobey the word of God. There in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, as the Lord Jesus began his public ministry, the devil came back not once, but three times and tried to cause the Son of God to violate the word of God. And my friend, we need to be students of the word of God, do we not? If we know what the Bible teaches, we'll recognize the devil's counterfeit dollars, luring us to buy into something that is not needful nor helpful and is sinful. Detours from God's word. Be careful of counsel that diametrically opposes the word of God. Yes, even a believer can be guilty of giving counsel that doesn't come from the Bible. At times I've sought counsel, and I have been amazed from the counsel that I've received that certainly was not grounded upon the word of God. The Bible said one thing, but they said something that absolutely opposed that. So be on guard. And Nehemiah realized that this counsel to go into the temple was a violation of the word of God. That's how we can be discerning. Even though everybody's saying it, this is what you ought to be doing, you've got to ask the question, thus saith the Lord. Is this what the Bible teaches? Is it contrary to the word of God? Or is it in harmony with God's word? Distractions. Detours. Let me close with three principles based upon these two main situations. Distractions, detours. In these two situations, people were involved. So I'd like to highlight the people principle. The people principle. And in deciding upon the type of counsel that we receive, one needs to consider the people giving that counsel. Are you listening to me? So these individuals that gave Nehemiah counsel, either they were outright enemies of the work of God, or Nehemiah didn't know them from Adam. The people principle. Because one needs to ask the question of those that we receive counsel from, are their priorities the same as my priorities? See, I think sometimes we ask counsel of people and really they're not on the same page. You know what I'm saying? They're not on the same page. They might have lived life and they might be successful, but as far as priority and spiritual perspective, they're just not on the same page. They might not be wrong, but they might not be right, because it's not in harmony with God's will for your life or the goal that God has for you. See, wisdom will ask the question of those peoples that we seek counsel from, where are they coming from? Are they thinking spiritually? Do they really understand my God-given passion? Are there some inconsistencies in that person's life? Are they up and down spiritually? Well, why are you seeking counsel of somebody that's up and down spiritually? Problem. Or an obviously carnal Christian. It amazes me when I speak to people and I ask them, now, who did you get that counsel from? And it just amazes me sometimes the people that they seek counsel from. Carnal Christians. To what avail? No, no, at times God has spoken through donkeys and but really, that's the exception, not the rule, is it not? God could speak through a donkey. God could speak through this wall if we wanted to. But I would dare say that predominantly God will use spiritual people to guide spiritual people in a spiritual direction. So why are you seeking counsel from someone that's carnal, worldly, critical, gossiping, a busybody, a bitter person? Disgruntled individuals. I see it all the time. It blows my mind. I think, man, are we thick or what? Can't they see this person's carnal? They're critical. They're a gossiper. They're cynical. They're not really that spiritual. Why are they seeking counsel of them? It's the people principle. See, Nehemiah worked it out that Sambar and Tobiah and Gershom were not on his side. And these people that came to him with advice, he didn't know them from Adam, so how could he guarantee that they had his best interest at heart? The people principle. See, be careful who you take counsel from. Now, Pastor, are you saying that if a person is obviously critical, worldly, a gossiper, a busybody, bitter, that you shouldn't seek counsel from them? Yes. Is that clear or what? And if you're not sure what that type of person looks like, come and see me and I'll give you a crash course. Don't seek counsel. And by the way, added extra, no extra charge, those type of people like to give counsel. It's a funny thing. Bitter people like to give you their counsel. Cynical gossipers, of course gossipers like to give you their counsel. Of course. The people principle. Evil communication corrupt good manners, the Bible teaches us. You need to ask the question concerning this person that you are receiving counsel from. Do they understand my priority? Where are they coming from? What is their spiritual base? The second principle I've sort of gleaned from these two events in Nehemiah's life is what I would call the wisdom principle. In other words, what will be the fruit of their counsel? Nehemiah understood if he went to the plains of Ono, to a place that he wasn't aware of, then that would distract him from the completion of the wall. And he also understood that if he went into the temple to hide, then he would be violating the word of God. And I believe that Nehemiah considered the outcome, the fruit of his actions. And you and I need to consider what will be the fruit of the counsel that I receive. See, in James chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, quickly please, let's turn there. I'm almost there. James chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, the Bible draws a contrast between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And the Bible teaches us that wisdom that comes from a human level is earthly. In other words, it's not spiritual, it's sensual, it's devilish, and it leads to envy, it leads to strife, it leads to confusion. Does this counsel that I'm receiving, does it confuse the situation? Have you been in situations where you've sought counsel and at the end of that reception of counsel you've been a little bit confused? Warning time. But if it's true spiritual wisdom that comes from above, then verse number 17 teaches us the fruit of spiritual wisdom. It leads to purity, peace, gentleness, easy to be entreated, workability, good fruits. Without hypocrisy, without partiality. So God draws the contrast. And you and I need to ask the question, what will be the fruit of this counsel? That's the wisdom principle, then the people principle. Who are these people that I'm seeking counsel from? Where are they at? Where are they coming from? And if you don't really know where they're coming from, go somewhere else. Simple. Don't worry about them. You don't have to be unkind. Or if they volunteer their counsel, well then just take it on board and say thank you very much for that. And as soon as you walk out of that situation, just throw it in the bin. And last but not least, the faith principle. From these two events in Nehemiah's life, I discerned that Nehemiah didn't feel right about what was happening. He didn't feel right about meeting in the plain of Ono, of which he wasn't told exactly where to meet. He didn't feel right about going into the temple and hiding. And not trusting in God. He just didn't feel right about it. What I call the faith principle. Can I follow through with complete confidence on the decision or the counsel I've been given? Or are there doubts? Are there uncertainties in my heart? Obviously, Nehemiah had some uncertainties and he discerned that this is not of God. And then in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, the Bible teaches us, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I preach it all the time. You know I do. If there are any doubts, don't. And I often ask people, how do you feel about it? A bit apprehensive? Oh, Pastor, I'm not sure. Don't. And I base that upon Romans 14:23. As you go on in the Christian life, you will understand there is a difference between stepping out by faith and doubt. There is a difference. Our pastor's no difference. Yes, there is. You grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will notice there is a difference. There are times I do not step out. It's a faith issue. Then there are times which I do not launch out because buried in the depth of my heart or your heart, there are some doubts. Some uncertainties. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you cannot follow through on that decision with complete confidence, with the absence of doubt buried in the depth of your heart, my advice to you is don't. Don't. Because the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. My friend, this morning we all need to be open to counsel from spiritual resources. Spiritual people. Counsel that produces spiritual fruit. Counsel that can be followed through by faith with complete certainty and spiritual confidence. We all need to be open to counsel. From sources that are spiritual. And from our authorities and from those that are close to us, at the same time, Brethren, we need to be discerning concerning the counsel that we give. Because nobody's right all the time. And the two main areas that Nehemiah was mindful of was distraction and detour. Distraction, detour. Distraction away from God's will, detour diametrically opposing the Word of God. And the devil will use distractions, and he will use detour, and he will use people to distract you and detour you from God's will. And one needs to stand back and apply the wisdom principle and ask the question, what will be the fruit of this decision? And one needs to ask the question, can I follow through on this counsel by faith without doubt? May God help us to be discerning in the counsel we receive. Because in the multitude of counsel, there is safety, but practically, there's danger as well. There is a balance. May God help us. Every head bowed, every eye closed.